Is there anybody in the room that is excited about this election cycle and nominating Republicans and Democrats? Woo, man. I know it's a sore subject for some people, but I tell you, I found myself last night just being a little bit frustrated with the whole process and searching for something that would be above third grade level antics at the time. And so, man, I found two stories that were pretty cool. I don't know if you've heard about these, but Tiger Woods just designed his first ever golf course in Montgomery, Texas. And they had the big inaugural tee-off of his golf course this past week. And so, man, news cameras from everywhere, papers, reporters, Tiger Woods is there. So to hit the inaugural first tee shot, they brought on this 11-year-old boy to come and hit the tee shot. I don't know about you, but if Tiger Woods had asked me, well, we're looking for a pastor from Kyle, Texas to come and hit the inaugural tee shot, I don't think I could have hit the ball. Like if Tiger's standing there, I would have swung and I would have missed. But this 11-year-old steps up to the ball and he knocks a hole in one on the very first hole, very first shot ever of the course. I mean, how crazy is that, right? And so I'm reading this story and they're saying, man, this guy, what a gift that he was given. And even Tiger picks him up and embraces him, you know, Mr. Unemotional, just amazing. Really cool. Another story is similar in amazement. So the guy's digging through an attic on the East Coast and he finds this brown paper sack that's all wadded up, opens it up, and there's seven Ty Cobb 1910 to 1912 baseball cards in them. There's only 15 in existence still today. Each one is worth well over $1 million. Yeah, right? And they're saying, wow, what a gift, how lucky this guy is to have found this. Church, we have a gift that makes even those two things pale in comparison. It's a free gift that is given to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and our salvation. And I want you to know that this gift doesn't rely on luck. Man, after I read that story, I wanted to find any old people that lived on my street and like, hey, can I dig through your attic? What are you looking for? Nothing in particular. You know, I just want to see something. What are you doing with that brown paper bag? Nothing. Running away, right? This gift doesn't rely on luck. It relies on what Jesus Christ accomplished for us at Calvary when he died on the cross for our sins, when he rose from the dead to give us life. Now, this verse that we're going to be looking at today in Romans 6:23 is a clear conclusion. It's a clear summary of what we've been reading in chapters 5 and chapter 6. And remember, we've been talking about being a bond servant of Jesus Christ or being a bond servant of sin. And Paul has been saying that thing that you choose to serve, you are going to receive a wage for that thing that you serve. In the Roman day when Paul wrote this, as a bondservant, your wage could be the food that you ate. It could be the house that you slept in. But many bondservants received a paycheck of, yeah, you need to take care of these things for your own life. And Paul has made this clear. If you serve sin, you receive a wage for that. If you serve God, also we receive from what we serve. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you look on your message notes with me, you have a chart that I have drawn up here for you. And if we can zoom in on this chart for a moment, that would be very helpful. See, we always like to think of this verse horizontally. What I mean by that is that we start with sin, right? That's our master. It says, for the wages of sin, so we start with sin. And if we start with sin, then and this is our master, then that master is going to pay us wages. This is what Romans 6:23 is saying. And those wages, no matter what we receive as wages, those wages are always going to become debt. They're always going to lead to death. And so we think about it horizontally, and we should. And there's such incredible power in this verse, how it lists these three things, and then it contrasts those with these three things of God. So let's look at these horizontally as well. If we have met Jesus Christ, he's our Lord and Savior, then sin no longer is our master, but God is our master, right? He is the one that we're serving. Now, if God is the beginning, then we don't receive wages, right? We receive a free gift. Every single time, this leads to eternal life. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in looking at these things, we want to take some time this morning to investigate the bad, so we can know the glory of the goodness of God and what he's arranged for us. You see, because these are two completely different systems. One is the system of the world, right? One is a system that we're born into. One is a system of God that he calls us into. So let's look at the bad first so we know the glory of the good. The wages of sin is death. How do I know then if sin is my master and I'm receiving wages from that sin? Well, it's easy, and you might want to write some of these things down underneath these words. But when we look at sin, sin runs against everything that God does through Jesus Christ. In fact, sin runs against everything about who God is. It's counter to who God is. Now, sin can simply be a departure from the truth, can it? Because God is absolute truth. That's his name. He is true. I remember we learned last week about Jeremiah 17:9 that says the heart is deceitful above all things. So you could say biblically that if we simply trust in ourselves, it's becoming sin instead of trusting in God. Because sin is famous for deceit, right? Sin deceives us time and time again. So when we trust in ourselves and in our own heart, sin is easily found. Now, what do we know from the many things that Paul has said on this subject in Romans? That this is inescapable for us, right? We are born into sin, into the brokenness of Adam. And we begin earning the wages of that sin, leading to death from infancy. And in fact, when we look at that, how do we know that? Well, the law has revealed it to us according to what Paul has said. We know that sin messes us up. Man, it traps us. It keeps us from being the people that God wants us to be. You know, sin is famous for being shiny on the outside, right? But then you open up that shiny present and it's just hollow on the inside. That's where the deceit comes from. Now, I'm going to introduce you to a furry friend of mine here. This is not our real rabbit, but he's certainly fluffy and he nods his head like a rabbit when you poke him in the neck. So our kids love him very much. How I wish that we could see sin through the eyes of God. I wonder how much we are just like this rabbit, right? And sin sets itself up against us, doesn't it? What does that look like? Well, probably it looks something like this, just very similar to this, right? And then we have something, man, I've got a $20 bill in my wallet because I am loaded, right, with cash. Now, we see the $20, don't we? But oftentimes we don't see this that's around us at all, do we? Oh, how I wish we could see it through spiritual eyes. Now, I'm not saying that money is bad. We know the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. But how easily we can get stuck into sin. The wages of sin is death. So what is this wage? What does this mean? Well, it means that once we're in sin and we're born in sin, right? We're born with him being our master. Once we're in sin, then we earn stuff and we work for it. That's what this wage is all about. We earn it. We work for it. We have pride in it. This word originally came from soldiers who were receiving rations for their work for the state, right? Oh, here's your food ration. Here's your barracks because you've earned it. That's where this word came from. Now, if you even just think about the salaries that we receive when we go off to work, right, we are mistaken into thinking that those wages, what we work for, is what we need to live on. It's a mistake. Well, Jonathan, why is that a mistake? Because you got to have that salary to buy food, to pay for your house. Yeah, but there's a much bigger picture in the Bible, isn't there? God is our provider in the Bible. God is the source of life. So being consumed with our wages is a lie. All right, it's no wonder that it goes together with this trap here of sin. And some become so good at wages that even when we meet Christ, we feel like we have to earn his favor more and more. And church, I want to tell you, you're not going to earn more favor of God than what he's given you through Jesus Christ and the cross and the resurrection. You don't work for that. We'll see in a moment what it means that it's a gift. See, so what we try to do then, when we try to work, we try to live by the law, to try to earn some sort of holiness, right? We're kind of imposing the system of sin and death upon God, and that's never how it's supposed to be. God is supposed to flow in our lives, right? The Holy Spirit is supposed to burst forth from our life. Light is supposed to shine in the darkness from our lives. Not this other way around. Now, here's what I've found in this wage type of living. Found that Satan tempts us with wages, right? Look at all that you can achieve, Jonathan. And the way that I would do this here with this fluffy bunny is that he tempts us with this wage, and the bunny obviously doesn't see the trap that's around him, but he does get in here because he's attracted by the $20 bill. I actually don't think rabbits are attracted by money. He would want to eat this money, but for practical purposes, I didn't have a human trap. I just had this little rabbit cage. So I find that wages are a major temptation that keeps us sucked in this sin, death trap time and time again, right? Oh, look what I can do. This is great. A few years ago, I had a lady in my office, and her husband had visited twice, and they were considering membership for the church. And she sat in my office, and what I realized about 5 seconds into our meeting together was that it was basically a display of her resume of why the church needed her. And she actually said this. She said, Jonathan, I can do great things for this church. And I don't think she liked my reaction very much to that statement because they never came back after this meeting. But that's not the way that it works, right? It's not about, oh, here's the great things that I can bring to you. That is a system that is stuck in wages, right? It's about God has transformed my life. And he's even taken the most embarrassing, nasty things in my life. And now those things are being used for his glory. And he is using me, but it's not about what I bring to the table. It's what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. It always leads to death. I'm always amazed, you know, when we look at the system of this world, how the paycheck of sin, that wage, we make such a big deal about it. We compare our wages, right, of what we can accomplish, but it always leads to death. Why is that the case? Because God is the author of salvation, right? Salvation belongs to God, according to Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. You can't earn what is not yours in the first place. It's like your neighbor having a 1965 Mustang convertible that's in mint condition. And so you're working and working for your neighbor to earn that car. And he's never said the car can be yours, right? You're working like crazy, and he's never going to give you the car because it's his to give, right? It's his to decide, okay, I can do this, right? The wages of sin is death, and you realize we spend so much time in our wages comparing ourselves to other dead people. It's dead comparing themselves to death. That's not working for us, church. That's not the way that it should be. Right, we get caught up in, and I've accomplished more, or I've done more, but we've never been called to compare ourselves to each other. We've only been called to compare ourselves to God Almighty, to His holiness, to His righteousness. How do you compare with that look? You know, I always imagine us on the cliff of the Grand Canyon with God on the other side, and there's no way we can get across. It's too big, right? And we're just dead people, right? Waiting to die, and it's like we're looking at each other bragging about, ooh, I can jump further than you can. Whoop-de-doo, right? You're going to die just like I'm going to die. It doesn't matter how far you can jump. We all fall to our death, right? We can't achieve the holiness of God once without Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? We look at each other confidently because we think we're better than the other person. And it's nothing to brag about. The wages of sin is death. Now, this is a physical death, right? And that physical death serves as a reminder of a greater death, of a spiritual death, separated by God, separated on this earth, separated for eternity. Randy, can we zoom back in here to our rabbit one more time? Oh, you're there. Thank you. And amazing how quickly traps are sprung, right? And just like that, he's trapped. And some people know that this is their existence, and other people don't have a clue that this is their existence. I've met people that for 20 years, 30 years have lived in this existence. And you're trying to show that to them. I've even asked people before that have been telling me how horrible their life is. And they're describing this trap that is sin that's around them. But they don't believe in Jesus. Oh, I can't believe in that. I've even asked them, well, how is it working for you in the way that you're doing your life? You know, after 10 years, after 15 years, just how is that going, right? Because it looks like it's not going very well at all. It looks like the freedom that you're after is not freedom at all. You know, when Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden, they were created for God's glory and relationship. And how beautiful it was, right, to walk hand in hand with God Almighty, to feel the grass between their toes, to be naked and unashamed, to smell the flowers and to just be in that relationship with God, just giving Him glory as they're walking and talking together. But the instant, right, that they disobeyed the Lord, they violated God's holiness. The relationship was severed. It was broken. And that's exactly what we're born into. Right? We're born into that brokenness. A wall was thrown up between us and between God. You know, this election cycle, there's been a lot of talk about a wall separating Texas and Mexico. And I'm not here to endorse a candidate or to compare a candidate to Satan either way. So just want you to know that in this analogy. Because you could draw both of them from what I'm about to say. You know, the wall that has been proposed is an amazing wall. Very thick, incredibly tall. Talk about an imposition. I mean, it's a pretty crazy big wall. How much greater is a wall that divides us from being in relationship with God? It's immeasurable. It's unconquerable. There was nothing that we could do to overcome that wall, save for one man. A man who was God, Jesus Christ, and his work broke down the barrier that that wall put between us and God. And it wasn't just his work alone. You see, it was the very essence of what his life was. His blood shed on the cross conquered that wall. It broke through it so that we can be in relationship with Jesus Christ, with God Almighty. So you see, the wages of our sin is death. We know that. We've lived it. We've experienced it. But, man, and this has to be one of the most important conjunctions in all of the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's talk about this for a minute. What an incredible statement we have. You see, what happens here when we go from sin being our master to God being our master, and we make that journey through the cross? Well, what do we know about God? We have so many names about God. Let's just use this one, that God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is the beginning and the end. So that means that no aspect of your life from beginning to end is out of the grasp of God. Really, everything that we said about sin being our master, it's opposite here with God, because God is completely true, right? In him, we find the truth yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What he says yesterday still applies today. It still applies for everlasting. Man, and I get so tired as a pastor of seeing people settle for these imitations of what God can do. I'm talking about alcohol, drugs. I'm talking about the perversion that we make of sex today. So why do we want to go and get drunk? Man, I want to get drunk because I want to have some release from the burdens of this world. Does it work? Yeah, while you're drunk, it works. But then you wake up the next day and you've got more problems that are following behind you than you did before you got drunk in the first place, right? And you got a hangover to go with it. I mean, are drugs any different? Why is heroin becoming a problem again in the United States? Why is marijuana rampant in our high schools here in Kyle? Because how am I going to get away from these burdens of my life? And we do that, and does it provide relief? Yes, temporarily, doesn't it? And the highness wears off, and we have more problems than we began with. That's why those are imitations of what God can do. What about this sexual perversion that we see sweeping across our nation? It provides some euphoria for a moment, doesn't it? Right, that I can suddenly be distracted off of all the burdens and all these problems of my life. What if sorry imitations all three of those things are, that we're settling for something that is not the best all across our nation? You see, when the Holy Spirit tells you something on Saturday night, he says, Jonathan, my joy can be made complete in you. Guess what? When I wake up on Sunday morning and lift up my eyes to the Lord, his joy is made complete on Sunday morning, just like he promised it on Saturday night. On Monday morning, it's the same. What God says yesterday, today, and tomorrow is always the same. Don't settle for something that's an imitation. Man, how amazing this is when we put God as the beginning. What happens in that scenario? This is what happens, right? I'm sorry, Robert. I knew in the toss. I got concerned there. This is what happens, right? The cage is gone. The trap is gone of sin. We have a freedom that we've never experienced before in our life through Jesus Christ. But the gift of God, the free gift of God. What is this gift all about? Well, we just said it. It's my favorite price, right? How many of you, your favorite price is free? Yes. Man, that's it. That's how these retailers get us to drive all across Central Texas, isn't it? We got free stuff. Woo! I don't even like Kohl's, but I'm going over there because I might get like free socks, right? That's what we do with free stuff. We love it. This gift is unearned. It's undeserved. It's nothing like the wages of this world. Has nothing to do with those, does it? In fact, in Greek, this word is charisma. And I love this word so much because it's only used in the New Testament when God is giving something to us. It's the only time we see that word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, God has given us everything we need for life, for godliness. He loves to give to us. Now, it's interesting to me as we look at this. You see, because if we can zoom in here again on Fluffy Bunny, that this is really the scenario that we find ourselves in, right? The temptation hasn't been removed. But God hasn't removed the ways of this world, has he? The temptation is there. Well, why didn't he remove the temptation? Because he wants us to get back to that scenario in the garden where we are trusting him, where we're holding hand in hand with him, walking in relationship. That's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to trust in ourselves. He doesn't want us to rely on the might of money or whatever the temptation might be. He wants us to walk with him in relationship. You know, I said that thing about Tiger Woods earlier, how I would have missed the golf ball. But honestly, if I wanted to start playing golf more than once every 30 years, like I do right now, and Tiger was available to get some wisdom from him, yes. Okay. Sign me up. I'm going to do it. If I'm holding my golf club and Tiger Woods says, Jonathan, you should move your hand like a little bit differently. Okay. Yeah, I will do it. If you told me that, I'm going to be like, okay, sure. You don't know what you're talking about. Right. And I'm going to continue to hack at the ball. But if Tiger Woods tells you, yeah, man, if I'm off shooting a basketball and Tim Duncan walks up, man, praise the Lord for the Spurs. Right. If Tim Duncan walks up and he says, Jonathan, you should move your hand a little bit differently, just like this. Okay, because he's my favorite basketball player of all time. Yes, of course. Yeah, man, God's good, right? So, of course, if he tells me to do that, I'm going to do that. He's Timmy D, right? He's the fundamental man. Where am I going with this? If I'm going to get through life, and there's not anybody that I would want more to walk with me than the author of that life. That's what God has given us an opportunity to do in Christ Jesus, to cling to him in relationship, to be able to navigate this scenario that we call life. That's why Habakkuk says, give me the feet of a deer that I might be able to navigate what is before me and what is around me. It's a free gift that God has given us in Christ Jesus. What does this gift lead to? It leads to eternal life. Every single time when we are operating in God, when we're operating in the gift that is ours, it leads to life. It leads to us tasting life on this earth. It leads to eternal life in heaven. Now, I did this for the first service, so I want to do it again. What is the difference here? Why didn't he say everlasting life? There's a difference. I just want to draw it here. I would say I'm chasing a rabbit, but he's sitting there, and so this is a little bit different. Y'all can stay later. I'll just keep talking like this, right? This is 1986. This is where I became a Christian and gave my life to the Lord. Man, 30 years ago, that is crazy how time flies. So here I became a Christian and I became an everlasting being, didn't I? Because I had a beginning and I'm not going to have an end. That's everlasting. You know what the difference is in eternal? Eternity has no end either. It's just always there, right? God says, I am who I am. That is a statement of eternity. And it occurred to me as I was praying through this and thinking about it this week that 1986, man, what an incredible year, man, to meet Christ, to know Christ. You know, the rest of the 90s, maybe we're just not going to talk about the 90s in my life so much as I was learning how to become a man and grow into adulthood. Those transition years are difficult, aren't they? It's tough to transition from child to teenager to adult. It's tough to transition from single adult to married adult. It's tough to transition from married with no kids to married with kids. It's tough to transition from kids in the house to kids out of the house. You know what occurs to me here in eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus? There's no transitions in eternity, is there? God simply always is. That's why I've said it several times. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, according to the Bible, that he just is. And in giving our life to Christ and following God as our Savior, right, he gives us the gift. What is that gift? It's himself. There is eternity that is resting upon our hearts because of the gift of God through Jesus Christ. And I can go to God every day, and he is going to be the same. He's going to love me. He's going to provide new mercies for me every morning. His joy is going to be made, my joy is going to be made complete in him. It's unchanging. It's eternal. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. What happens in this? Well, this is about life. Man, I'm tasting it and knowing that it's good, right, in this life, and I'm tasting it for what is going to be become in the future, right? Where right now, I'm seeing through a mirror that's dimly lit, but then I'm going to see clearly. Then I'm going to be fully known and know him fully, according to 1 Corinthians 13. What's happening in this eternal life? Well, I've stepped into something that is bigger than myself. And we get so caught up right in the circumstances and the $20 bill that's right in front of us. I thought that life was about what was here. No, suddenly, life is about eternity. And God has chosen me to be a part of his eternal plan right there in the middle of it. What a blessing. What glory. What system are you walking into? What system are you walking in day after day? In fact, we think about this horizontally. We never really think about it vertically very much, do we? And it's going to sound silly to say that without seeing this diagram up here. Have you ever woken up in sin? Even as a Christian, we wake up and we realize, oh, sin has been knocking on my door and it's gripped me. Look how powerful it is how God has listed these three things and then he's listed these three other things, right? That through the cross, even when I wake up and I know sin is knocking at my door, God is still my master. Have you ever woken up, even as a Christian, and you realize that your life is stuck in this wages of this world, right? And oh man, why do I have the burdens of this life upon me? And why do I feel like I got to work harder? And no matter how hard I work, nothing is ever going to be accomplished and ever be done because I'm living in wages. And have you ever woken up in that scenario? And through the cross, you can replace it again with the gift of God. They go together, don't they? God transforms this into this. Have you ever woken up tasting death and realized, man, I have gotten off track and life itself is crumbling around me? Through the cross, you can taste life once again. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a picture of this verse. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you paid a price for us to afford us to have the gift of your presence and eternal life. Oh, Lord, we cling to the cross and to the resurrection, knowing that they are our only hope, and we say that we love you. God, give us the wisdom and the discernment to see the traps of the wages of sin around us, that we could reject those traps, Lord, and walk in the freedom that you've given us hand in hand in relationship with you. How we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.